Amen. It is time for the church to rise. We certainly are in the end times, and we know what the Word of God says about that. It says that in the last days that iniquity would abound. But, there's that word, but. What does but mean? Y'all have been listening. When you hear the word but, it means what's about to be said is of more importance or more power than what was previously said. So in the last days, iniquity shall abound. But the grace of God doth much more abound. I want you to know that the word of God says in Matthew that God's church, the gates of hell, will not prevail against it. Now look, the church is not the building. It's not the structure. The church is the blood-bought, born-again believer of God. The one that is equipped with His Word in his heart and His praise on his lip and the Holy Spirit on him to empower him to go forth to be more than a conqueror, to go forth to be victorious and not the victim, to go forth and overcome, not be overcome. God wants us to win. He's designed it. It's in His plan for His people, the church, His people to win. Why are so many people allowing themselves to be the devil's punching bag? Why are so many people standing and taking what the devil has to offer? Are you in the slow learners class? Have you not yet learned that you're in a fight? You better throw some punches or you're gonna get whipped. Some of y'all ain't never been in a fight. This nose didn't get looking like this when I was born. It didn't take me long to learn. When I was getting hit, I had better throw some punches or I was going to get whipped. Now, as Rusty Green would say, I'm too slow to run and I'm too old to fight, so you figure out what I'm going to do. I tell you what I'm going to do in this spiritual warfare. I'm going to use the Word of God because the Lord watches over His Word to perform it. His Word will accomplish what He sent it to do. It's not just ink on paper. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's the epitome and the essence of who He is. That's why the devil does not want you to know what this says. He don't care how much you go to church. He don't care if you're a member of four churches. But you make him nervous when you start reading the word. And then you terrify him when you start quoting the word. Because you become armed and dangerous with the Word of God. That's why it's absolutely imperative. There's no shortcuts to be a man or woman of faith, that you have to do it with the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You can pray for more faith and pray for more faith. I've said this many times and I will keep saying it because you've got to get it in your heart and in your spirit and in your mind. Praying for faith is not enough. It only comes one way. The Word. Well, you just don't know how busy I am. Yes, I may not. I know how busy I am. But I also know this. Somehow, we find a way to make time for the things that are important to us. If getting your fanny whipped ain't important to you, just go on and be a sucker. Now, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be real. If you're tired of getting kicked around by the devil, if you're tired of the roller coaster ride, if you're tired of the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs, I challenge you to ask yourself, how much time do you make for the Word of God? How much time do you make to get in the presence of God? How much time do you prepare for this warfare called life? As the words of that song said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Then just whoever was the strongest would win. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but there's that word, against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, our enemy, our battle on this earth is not each other. It's an adversary called the devil that's on a mission to steal, kill, and to destroy. To steal from you the joy of the Lord. To steal from you peace. To steal from you enjoyment of life. To kill you spiritually. And to destroy God's intent for your life. Listen, this is not a game. This is for keeps. This is a matter of life and death. Literally. And it's not just that if we were to die this physical death and it be over, it wouldn't be too bad. But there's an eternity after this life. There's only two destinations, heaven and hell. And in spite of what some would believe and might even would teach, God has not predetermined who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. If he would, he's not a God of love. And he would not have given us a choice. He set before all of us the gift of life. And he's told us, choose life. Because death is automatic to those that don't choose it. Because we're conceived in sin, we're born in sin, we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that's righteous in and of ourselves. We can't give enough money, we can't sing enough songs, we can't preach enough sermons, we can't teach enough Sunday school classes, we can't do enough good deeds. We're saved one way. That's by embracing the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, where he shed innocent blood, gave his life so that we could live eternally and have life on this earth more abundantly. This is basic elementary stuff, but it's time we back up and go to the foundational truths. That we better build on the foundation that's strong and solid. That's the Word of God. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 12. My comments will be brief tonight, because I want you to just think about these words that I'm going to read and the following words that I will say. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, we're all in this race of life, racing towards eternity. And we're all running, but not all will receive the prize. So run that you may win. Run that you may finish strong. Run that you may obtain the goal. Don't run just beating the air and que sera, sera, and whatever will be, will be. No, run with purpose. Run with intent, recognizing and realizing that this life, this race, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We're going to have to endure some things. We're going to have to go through some stuff. His word said, while you're in this world, you shall have tribulations. You're going to have some tough times. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But it's amazing how that word keeps coming up, isn't it? While you're in this world, you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. And because he's in us and we're in him, we too will overcome this world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I want to talk to you for just a few moments tonight. If I had the title of this message, it would be Make a Comeback from Your Setback. You see, in this race, in this journey, there's going to be those obstacles. There's going to be those pressures. There's going to be those trials. There's going to be those situations. There's going to be those problems. There's going to be those tests in all of our life. None of us are exempt from them. Is there anybody here that you've never been through any adversity or test or temptations? May I see, please see your hand? Anybody, anywhere? How many of you here have been through some things, sometimes so devastating you didn't know how you were going to make it through? Anybody? I want you to realize this. Setbacks come in different ways, in different shapes, in different forms. Sometimes you'll encounter setbacks in your life at the hands of other people. Scripturally, in Daniel chapter 3, we read the story of the three Hebrew children where they had made this golden image and they'd come up with this rule that at the sound of music that everybody was to bow down and pay homage to this statue. And anybody that didn't do it was going into a furnace, into a fire. See, they laid a trap for old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The music sounded. Everybody fell. Everybody worshiped except these three Hebrew children. They went and told the king, brought them before the king, and they said, is it true that you don't bow when we play the music? And they says, yes. He said, well, we're going to play it again. We're going to give you another chance to bow down, to compromise your beliefs, to forsake your God, to turn and go the other. We're going to give you another chance. How many of you realize the devil will give you a whole lot more than one chance to mess up? And he said, and after we give you this chance, if you don't bow, you're going in the fire. And who is that God that is able to deliver you from my hand? Their response was, my God can, and my God will. But even if he don't. So we like to hear that my God can and my God will part. Most of you don't even know they said a third thing. They said, but even if he don't, we're not going to bow down. I want you to know God is looking for people that regardless of what they're facing, they will not compromise. They will not forsake. They will not turn their back on God. They will not dilute who they are out of fear. Therefore, they didn't bow and he threw them in the fire. I love this story and I may get happy and dance across this floor. I love it. Hey, throw three of them in there. King sitting up there on that balcony watching it, checking it out. He stood up and he said, wait a minute. Didn't we cast three men in that fire? They said, yes, King, we did. He said, well, there's four of them in there and they're up walking around. And the fourth is like the Son of God. I want you to know you may go in the fire, but I want you to know he's in there with you. Whether you ascend to the highest mountain, he's there. Whether you go to the regions of hell, like old Jonah, he's there. You can't get away from him. He'll go with you. He'll bring you through. The rest of that story says they came out of that fire, didn't have no hair singed, didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Now, I'm a Shreveport fireman 29 years. And I know how when we fought a good, hot, smoky one, you could use all the Dial soap and air you wanted to. Come on, say amen there, fireman. My wife will tell you, that stuff don't wash off. It gets in the pores of your skin. You'll stink for a while. But that's not enough to convince you, I'm sure. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was one of the king's favorites. He was a prisoner, yes. He was captured as a young boy and taken to a strange land, and he was a prisoner. But he found favor with the king. And he had promoted him, placed him over a whole bunch of stuff and a whole bunch of people, and jealousy set in with some of the other princes and governors, and they laid a trap. They got the king to make a decree that nobody could ask anything of any other man or any other god except of the king, and if they did, they were going to be thrown in a den of lions. And it says, when Daniel knew that the decree had been signed, he went up to his room as he did beforehand, and he opened his windows towards the east, and three times a day he prayed. Well, he winds up in a lion's den. The king was upset. See, he liked Daniel. But he'd signed a decree that couldn't be changed. It couldn't be altered. So he had to ride it out. And the Word of God says that his sleep left him and he walked the floors all night long. Early daylight, he's down at the lion's den. Oh, Daniel, is the God that you serve able to have kept you from the mouths of the lions? Yeah, you bet. Been sleeping on them lion pillows. Got him out of there. And the very ones that had plotted and planned and strategized and successfully got him in that place, wound up being their demise and their death. Need a little more convincing? That other people can get you in some jams? How about in Acts chapter 16? Paul and Silas, they had cast the spirit of divination out of a young girl, and it ticked her owners off because she was making them a lot of money. How many of you know that the 1-900 fortune teller and psychic hotlines is a multi-billion dollar industry in America today? Anyway, they cast that spirit out of that girl. They get mad. They go before the magistrates complaining. So they take Paul and Silas, and they whip them up real good, put many stripes, and beat them on their back, put them in the inner prison, shackle them with chains. They didn't have nothing to do with that. Scripture says, and at midnight representing the darkest hour, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. The Lord visited them in that place. The shackles fell off. The jailer woke up afraid that they were gone, and they said, don't be afraid, we're still here. Called for a light. They brought a light, and they wound up leading him to the Lord, and he takes them home with him and bathes their wounds, cleans their wounds, and their entire household saved. But still, they were in a place that they didn't put themselves. They were in a jam at the hands of others. But then there's also setbacks that you have that you cause. But let me just say this about those that I just talked about and many others, the one common denominator, the one thing that they all of those stories had in common is all of those people stayed faithful and stayed true unto God, no matter what man had done to them. And God brought them through. But what about the setbacks that you cause and bring upon yourself? Let's look at a few. Exodus chapter 2. Moses, he's out walking around and he sees some Egyptian soldiers whooping up on some of those Jews. And his anger, rage, mad, lost his temper and emotions, and he killed one of the guards. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever done something in a state of rage and anger and when your emotions were boiling that later on you wish to God you wouldn't have done that? I know that at one point in time, used to, every time I got mad, it cost me money. I'm just going to show you that I'm real human, just like you. Glenn and I lived right at Huntington Park Apartments when this happened. And we had a Zenith 25-inch console television, which was the thing back then. And that thing, I drank in my beer, Skeeter, and that TV had a mind of its own. It'd start rolling. Well, you get about halfway over there to it, and it'd straighten up. I'd go back over there and sit down, and it'd start rolling. After several halfway trips over there and it straightening up, I'd had me enough. And temper set in, and I come over there and I hit that sucker. Best picture it ever had. She'll tell you. About that time it went, and smoke starts boiling out of the back of that thing. So I unplug it. I was a fireman. I unplugged it. I slide that thing out on the balcony and pitched it over in the swimming pool. I thought, well, we're fixing to get evicted from here for sure. That's why the Word of God says be slow to anger. Because your anger, your emotions, your temper, it'll get you in a bind. Talk like you know what I'm talking about there, Janice. Judges chapter 16. Old Samson. He's laying his head over there in Delilah's lap, having big time. Now, God had told him one thing not to do. Don't tell anybody where your strength lies. And like most of us men, ladies, you missed a chance to say amen. Like most of us men, you tell us we can't do something, and that's like saying, sick 'em, Fido. So he lays his head enough times, and she tempts him and toys with him enough till he finally told her that if he cut my hair, I'll be like anybody else. So Samson's problem was he was disobedient. You see, oftentimes in our disobedience to God, we find ourselves in the middle of a circumstance that we wish we weren't in. Because, see, they took Samson, gouged his eyes out, took him to town. They're making sport of him, tie him up at the wine press, and they're just using him for their entertainment. You see, oftentimes your disobedience causes you to be the devil's trophy where he shows your failures off to everybody else so that they can make fun of you, make sport of you. What about Jonah? Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah and told him, arise, go towards Nineveh and preach unto it the word that I bid thee. Mm-mm. Says he arose and he went to Tarshish. He went the opposite direction. He's not only being disobedient, he's being rebellious and he's running from God. And I'm telling you, if you've not yet learned by experience, your running from God will cause you to wind up in places that, like Jonah, you'll say, out of the depths of hell. Out of the depths of hell. Now, what's the common denominator in these three examples? They all repented. They all asked God's forgiveness. They all turned back to God. God forgave them and restored them. And they all went on to accomplish great things for the Lord. I want to challenge you tonight to make a comeback from your setback, whether you've caused it or whether someone else has caused it. Don't live in your setback. Come back. Take a Jesus powder and come back strong, kind of like old BC powder. Come to Jesus. Be forgiven. Be restored. Be renewed. Would you bow your heads? And I'm going to close. This is a very simple message. And look, you're not walking in shoes that all of us haven't walked in. You're not encountering and facing things that most of us in this place haven't encountered. And to be honest, most of us have made a lot of mistakes. It's not important whose fault it was. It's not even really important where you're at right now. What is important is where you're going to go from here. Don't let where you're at determine your destiny. Turn to a God of hope, a God of love, a God of forgiveness, a God of another chance, a God that restores and heals and fills and satisfies and loves to brag on you. If you're here tonight and you say, Dennis, I'm not in a relationship with Jesus. And if I were to die, hell would be my eternal home. And I realize that I don't have to go there. I can choose to go somewhere else. If that's you, just very quickly, would you just raise your hand, slip it up, slip it right back down. Anyone, anywhere. Yes, anyone else. Thank you, and thank you, young man. Thank you, young man. Anyone else? Quickly, slip it up. This is your moment. This is your time. You say, I want to be in a right relationship with Jesus Christ when I leave here tonight. I want to ask him forgiveness of my sins and my failures. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Quickly, slip it up. Slip it right back down. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Thank you, young man. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Slip it up. Slip it right back down. Yes, thank you, ma'am. Perhaps you're here tonight and you'd say, Dennis, I'm in a mech of a hess. And I caused it myself. Choices I've made, I've brought it on. And I'd like to ask the Lord to forgive me and to help me out of where I'm at, to get back on a road to bringing glory to him. I once walked with him, but like a prodigal son, I've done my own thing, gone my own way. And I'm tired of life like I have it. I've tried it my way, and it ain't working out real good. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Very quickly. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Everyone look up here at me for just a moment, please. Do you have any idea how much God loves you? Think about His love. In spite of you, in spite of your imperfections, in spite of your sins, in spite of your failures, He loves you. Loves you too much to leave you like you are. He wants to help you change. Now, for those of you that raised your hand for salvation, this is what the Word of God says, that if we believe Jesus is the Son of God, left heaven, came to this earth, walked out this race that we've talked about tonight, and He was tried and tempted in every way that you and I are. He understands. He can identify with where you've been and where you're at. Yet He was without sin. Voluntarily laid His life on a cross. He said, "No man takes my life. I lay it down and I raise it up again." He died on that cross, buried in a tomb, but He didn't stay dead. Praise God. Easter Sunday morning, walks out of there with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He's alive today. He's seated on the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for you and for me. Scripture says that if we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, then we're saved. You don't get saved by works. That's the way you get saved. We're saved by grace. So I want to lead you in a prayer in case you don't know how to pray. Here's the important thing. You must pray. You must ask. You must believe so that you can receive the gift of life. So would everyone pray with me, please, at this time? Say, "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I believe with all my heart that You're God's Son. Came to this earth. We're tried and tempted in every way as I am. Yet You're without sin. You died in my place so that I could live. But You didn't stay dead. You walked out of a grave. And that You're alive today. And You're coming back to get Your people one of these days. So now I ask You, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with Your blood, to come into my life right now and be not only my Savior, but be my Lord. Teach me how to walk. Empower me when I'm weak. Let me learn Your voice and Your ways so that I can be pleasing to You. In Jesus' precious name." Now, Lord, I ask You, to the others that raised their hand, God, that are in desperate places, that they realize they've put themselves there. God, I pray that as they return to You as that prodigal son, that You'll run to them and throw Your arms around them. Place a ring on their finger and shoes on their feet and a robe on their back. Lord, we ask You to glorify Yourself. Do things in people's lives that no man can take credit for. That everyone will know that it was You that moved in their life and on their behalf. Anybody in this place need a job? If you need a job, stand up. Those of you that are standing, I want to ask you a question. If God gives you a job, are you willing to work? Nod your head at me if you are. Nod your head no if you're not. And if you're not willing to work, sit down. Lord, you see these men and women that are standing in this place. And you said for us to bring every need that we have before you. And God, we ask you to help these men and women to find favor and to find a job. Not just a job, but the right job. A place where they can be a blessing to their employers. God, that they can bring glory to your name, and so that they will know that it was you that came through for them. Lord, I just speak a word of encouragement and hope into their lives. And we ask you to glorify yourself on their behalf. No one's looking around. You may be seated. No one looking around, please. I'm trying to follow the Spirit of the Lord. Your marriage is in trouble. Just slip up your hand real quick. Slip it up. Slip it right back down. Yes. Yes. Others, quickly. Slip it up. Slip it down. Nobody's looking. I'm not here trying to embarrass you. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Quickly. Slip it up. Slip it down. Yes. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to help these who have raised their hands tonight to do some soul searching and to look inside of themselves and be willing to swallow pride and egos, and to be willing to extend forgiveness one to another. And Lord, to begin to turn to you and entrust you to do a miracle in their marriage. God, we ask you to glorify yourself on their behalf. Save their marriage, Lord. Seal it with your Spirit. Somebody here tonight, nobody's looking around, please, we're not playing games. You say, Dennis, I don't believe in God. If you really don't believe in God, would you raise your hand? Yes. Anyone else? Quickly. You say, I just don't believe in God. Anyone else? Quickly. The Word of God says this: the natural man receiveth not the things of God, nor can he, for they're spiritually discerned. And I'm going to ask God to give you a wake-up call this week. I'm going to ask him to show himself to you, so that you'll come back to me and tell me, I've changed my mind. There is a God. Father, we ask you, not in judgment, but we ask you in sincerity, Lord, to show yourself to this one. However you choose, God, show them that you're real. Thank you, Lord.